At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, hello!
Hi!
It's Amanda and Sam, and we are back.
With Nuance Needed.
So we are going to talk about whether or not you want to have kids. And specifically, I started a Substack called Fence Sitter, which is kind of exploring this topic. Mm-hmm. And Sam, why are you interested in this topic?
Well, I think, first of all, we just wanted to start with something that was really light, really easy, not controversial. That was where our mind went when we were like, what is the calmest thing we could talk about? Choosing to have children. Like,
that's the most neutral.
Non-opinionated topic. That's what we chose. So let's just lead with that. However, I think being someone who is single, you see the world differently in that way. And I think there are so many arguments coming at you from all directions all day. And unfortunately, the algorithm really betrays you as a woman when you enter your 30s.
Oh, my God.
Because all of a sudden, it just starts like pumping you with like baby stuff. And like there's the child-free, you know, accounts that pop up. And then there's the, like, all of a sudden I've been getting, like, homesteader accounts. And I'm like, how did this happen? Like, I don't want this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think seeing your Substack and then also having clients communicate to me how helpful it was. And some of them are married. Some of them are single. Some of them are partnered. So I just felt like it was a really interesting topic for us to chat about.
Yeah. Yeah. And for people that don't know, I have a child. I was on the fence for a long time and ultimately decided to have a kid, and she is a little over a year now. And I kind of started writing about this. I was very interested and wrote about this before I had a child, but I feel like this is my way of kind of talking to my previous self and trying to, I promised myself when I had, not that there's anything wrong with this, but I just feel really, especially because I'm pretty sure I'm only gonna have one child. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm in this unique position where I still remember what it was like to be undecided, where unfortunately something does happen that I can attest to when you become a parent, and it's very easy to pretend like you never felt that way.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to, I don't know, reconcile who I was, who I am, how parenting has changed me, and this is sort of my way of doing that.
Yeah. Did you, let's just dive right in.
Yeah.
Were you ever at a point saying to yourself, I don't want kids? Or were you always a fence sitter?
I was always a fence sitter, but I went through a period of time where I was like, why do people do this? I really don't understand. And I got very frustrated and triggered because I had a lot of friends who got married and had kids simultaneously, essentially, like they got pregnant and then immediately got married, or immediately had kids after getting married. And I very much was always like, I'm going, like, marriage and children are separate things.
I think that
was in my mind, and just in my relationship with my husband, it was always, we had thought we would probably have kids, but it wasn't a package deal, where I think a lot of people, especially depending on how old you are, you're like, we're getting married to enter into this next stage of our life to have children.
Right.
And I was very frustrated when I saw people lumping these two things together, because I was like, they are separate. And I felt this like faux pressure, I think, once I got married. Because once you get married, a lot of times people do come out of the woodwork and start asking you when you're going to have kids.
Well, I think it's the standard socialized map.
Yeah.
You date, you get engaged, you get married, you have kids.
Yes. Yes.
That's it.
Exactly.
It's that linear. You're done.
Yes. So I think that was part of it. I mean, so after we had been married for, especially I think COVID really kind of messed me up because I had had this plan of, we got married in 2019. We wanted to travel and do all these things before thinking about having kids. And then, you know, we're all locked up for multiple years.
COVID was like, your dreams.
Exactly. And we didn't travel at all or do very much. And that led to a bit of a crisis for me when I turned 31 kind of and 30 of I was like, I haven't done all the things that I thought about. And now it feels like my clock is ticking. And, you know, I seriously considered freezing my eggs because I was like, maybe then that could give me some time to decide. I felt a lot of pressure to decide because my mom struggled a lot to have kids. And I assumed I would struggle a lot to have kids and it would take years. So it made me be like, I was never like, I'm not going to have kids, but we did go through a period of time of being like, we may wait a long time or we're not sure, / this looks miserable. Why do people do this?
Right. Yeah.
Which I wish people talked about because it does look miserable.
No, it does. And I think,
yeah, you not having kids, how do you feel about how it looks?
It depends because you yeah. see the content. I really like babies. I don't have any ill will towards babies, like especially let's talk about the baby agenda. Especially like growing up in a very religious, conservative religious background, babies were very common. And I liked babies. Like I remember liking to hold babies, taking care of babies. I wasn't intimidated by babysitting or things like that. And when I was younger, I remember thinking like, I really want this. Mm-hmm. Like I do. But then you get older and life happens. And the longer you go without it, I'm like, I really like not driving to sporting events on Saturdays. Like there's just, you know, and so you start to think of it in those terms of like, okay, I would love a cute, squishy little baby, but then that little thing grows up into a person that requires you to be even more involved with if you truly want to be a responsible parent. And so that's the part that I think of when I think of parenting. Like the baby stage doesn't scare me. Mm-hmm. However, what I've realized is that's from my own caregiver trauma of having a brother who is special needs. And to put it very succinctly, he's like a permanent toddler. So he's diapered, will wet the bed, needs to have the bed changed. He has some health issues and he throws up a lot and different things like that. So those elements sometimes I find when people think about the diaper changes and the not sleeping and the, you know, when your baby gets sick and all of that, like that I'm used to in an even bigger body. So when I think of a baby, I'm like, oh, that's easy. But then I'm like, do I really want that though? Or am I just used to it because I'm used to taking care of someone?
Yeah. That's such a good point.
I'm used to helping take care of someone and feeling like that's my role. Mm-hmm. And so do I want to do that to someone who is completely mine? Mm-hmm. Right? Or do I actually not want that? And so those are the thoughts I go back and forth with.
I think it's interesting, Sam, though, that it's made it more comfortable for you instead of having, like, I think some people, right, could have the opposite reaction of like, oh my God, I've seen what my parents have been through. I can never do this.
Well, the special needs component really weighs heavily on me, especially being someone, I'm 33.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to be quote unquote older. Like I will have a geriatric pregnancy, which I hate.
Worst term.
That term so much. It is rude. There's no way we can't come up with a better term. Yet the special needs thing as an older person giving birth really weighs on me. And so that is absolutely scary.
Yeah.
In recognizing the level of sacrifice that it requires to have a child with special needs. And so it's hard staying in this position because then you just, there's so much noise. There's so much noise to the decision of having children. And I'm sure every single person listening right now can relate to that. And that's what makes it so hard is now, like, our brains are not hardwired to filter every single person's opinion on every single thing.
Mm, such a good point.
And that's what makes us so freaking anxious is we're seeing this huge spectrum of like, well, this influencer benefits from painting motherhood as the most perfect thing in the world, while this influencer benefits from painting it as the most annoying thing. She regrets it. She's not happy, blah, blah, blah. And then there's people in the middle that are like, well, it sucks, but like you learn to live with it. Or then there's people that are like, oh, like I thought it was going to suck, but it's actually really good. So that's the confusion. There's no end.
Social media. Yeah. I mean, I think that I feel like, I mean, and people disagree with me on this, but my personal algorithm felt like it has swung so far in how bad motherhood was. And maybe that was because I got caught on, I just remember Laura Cleary, you know, Laura Cleary on TikTok. She's like an actress. She's sober. She had this extremely potent, we could play a clip, video of like crying postpartum. And I remember watching it and showing it to my husband and being like, oh my God, what? Like, how do people do, and just being like, people look like they're going to kill themselves over this. Like, this is horrible. And I didn't see any, it just felt like there was no middle. It was people are horribly upset, are going to regret it, or this is, you know, so the best thing in the world. Right. It completed them. And I knew instinctively that wasn't going to be me.
Right.
Because I have a career. Yeah. I have not thought about being a mother my whole life in that way. I don't love babies. I was someone who I got on board with having a child. I wanted a child and a person
you wanted to raise. You wanted to start with like a six-year-old.
Yeah. Like I wanted to be a parent.
Yeah.
A baby very much scared me. I haven't been around very many babies. Mm. It was a very foreign concept to me. But that's, I think, what's hard. But I also get it now as a parent, and that's what's so interesting is I get why people show extremes, because being a parent is inherently ups and downs.
It is extreme.
It's extreme. Like you literally, I've never experienced such highs and lows, which like sucks, and I hate to scare anyone on the fence, but you literally have moments where you're like, I would die for my child.
Right.
And then moments where you're just like, I can't do this anymore. And a lot of it I've learned to filter through is like me being overstimulated.
Like it's too
much. And that helps a lot, but it is inherently extreme. And that's why people share those things. And then the algorithm is extreme, you know, and highlights highs and lows.
Right.
So it has created this, I'm glad we're being more honest about motherhood, because I think that that was a huge issue that people weren't talking about. And I'm glad I was prepared in that way. I mean, I literally had the experience in postpartum of being like, this wasn't as bad as I thought.
Yeah.
Which was good.
Yeah, I guess that's a win.
But it's also things that, you know, like she's been in daycare and she's has yet to go to an entire week of daycare because she's been sick. We've been sick. And that has been something that I'm like, this is way worse. I thought. So I don't know where that leaves us.
I think, and this is what I say to my clients who are either in the fertility journey or they're considering it or they're, you know, processing this idea of being on the fence. It is so hard to, parenting is literally the only thing you cannot try.
Totally.
Like, yes, you can babysit. Yes, you can be like, oh, like I watch my nieces and nephews or I watch my friend's baby. Like, no.
It's not the same.
Completely different. You can test out friendships. You can test out jobs. You can test out living with your partner. Like,
you can change your mind about pretty much everything else.
You can get a divorce.
Yep.
You can quit your job. There's so many things that you can try and leave. Basically anything. This is the one thing that once you're committed to it, you go to jail if you try to back out.
Right to jail.
Right to jail. Like that's like, it's true. And I think that it's so unknown. And then let's not even talk about the pregnancy journey, right? Mm-hmm. Like, nobody knows how their body is going to respond to that. They can try to be like, well, like, my mom just went in the backyard and had a baby and it was fine. But, like, you know, you don't know. You don't know how sick mm-hmm. you're going to be. You don't know how it's going to impact your body until yep. you go through it. And then once you're through it, it's too late yeah. to do anything different. So I found with my clients, that's the element that feels the most daunting, is just how unknown it all is.
I totally agree. That when I was trying to decide, that was my biggest fear, was that I would regret having a child.
Right.
And I think what is so hard is you can't even the data, when you look into the data of, because I got very obsessed with like the data of like, who's happier, parents or non-parents? Yeah. And what are the, you know, what are the reasons why and all of that? You can't even really compare the data very well, because when parents say they regret having kids, I think a lot of times they're saying it in a moment or a period. Mm-hmm. Like, kids also change so quick and yes. fast. You would have to survey someone at the end of their life.
Right.
At the end of their parenting journey. And very few surveys of those have been done. And also, it's like this very weird thing where parents say that, like, parents are often unhappier, mm-hmm. but parents say that the thing in their life that makes them the happiest
is their kids,
is having kids,
right?
Which is the most weird thing to think about. And then you factor the other thing is, a lot of times when people have kids, their lives shrink,
right?
So kids become more important in their life, and they can't be as neutral about saying what makes them the happiest, because they don't do as much.
Right. Yeah, it becomes this all-encompassing experience. Mm-hmm. Yet, from my experience, you know, my overwhelming personal experience with motherhood, but more like watching friends, watching family mm-hmm. members, watching clients, what, like, all of these observations that I've made. Mm-hmm. I think there's an element that I like to remind people, which is, you actually have a lot more control over your experience than you give yourself credit for. If the person listening to this is on the fence and they end up deciding, you know what, I do want a baby. This is mm-hmm. something I want to do. I want to remind you that you are empowered to approach parenthood the way that is best for you. Mm-hmm. If that means you completely log out of social media for 9 months,
yeah,
and you just live your life and you listen to what your doctor says because you trust your mm-hmm. physician or your midwife or your doula or whoever, mm-hmm. that's fine. In yeah. fact, that's how you're meant to approach it if you want to do it in a way that feels authentic.
Yeah.
There is nothing that says your experience will have to exactly mimic this disaster that you're witnessing unfold on someone's Instagram mm-hmm. page or their TikTok page, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to remind you, like, if you are sitting on the fence, you have so much more power than you give yourself credit. And I think, Amanda, in the conversations that you and I have had privately, mm-hmm. that's what I've heard from you. You've made yeah. it work for you.
Yes. And I think we have this, I think when you're trying to imagine your life, or you're trying to be like, oh my God, if this ever happened to me, I wouldn't recognize myself. And that would be right. horrible.
Right.
I think you also have to remember that, like, you will change yeah. through this. Some of the things that I do now, I probably, if a previous version of myself saw myself, they would be like, what? You're like worried about, you know, your kid crying when they go to daycare or whatever. Like, you should never be the person who's like right. that or whatever.
Right.
But you get to also be the one that changes. You get to be like, mm-hmm. you're not going to just wait. I think there's such a fear of like, I'm going to wake up one day and not recognize myself. And I think that's the most reassuring thing that I would tell people, is that's not actually true though.
Right.
You are still living every day of your life.
Right.
You may stray from where you thought you were. You may change. But you are still an active participant
yes.
in your life yes. and changing. And just because you change or you do things differently doesn't mean that someone else hijacked your life and right. you became someone else. And I think that's like the weird narrative that scares people online, is that they're going to wake up one day and not recognize themselves. And like, you also get to participate and change or not change.
Well, absolutely agree with everything you just said. And also, you're evolving regardless. Mm-hmm. I promise you have gone through something in your life that you quite literally woke up one day and felt differently.
Mm-hmm.
Or knew you could never go back to the exact person you were prior to that thing happening. Mm-hmm. And that is normal. That is the expected experience. And so many, I've worked with clients who feel so overwhelmed by that idea of change.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's this huge monumental thing that just like demolishes your life. And sometimes there are events that are unexpected, sudden, out of nowhere. And it does feel that way.
Yeah, like trauma, I think, is a very good example. Yes. Like you're not choosing the trauma. You're not walking through and choosing to change from the trauma. It changes you.
It changes you. And it's okay that you can never go back to the person that you were.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't. Because you get to grow and learn and evolve from these experiences.
Yeah.
And I think with parenthood, that's how I think of it as a single person is, you know, like when I think of it for me and like moving forward, I'm leaning towards it. It is something that I want at this moment. So the preparatory work I'm doing now is getting really clear on what are my values?
Mm-hmm.
Like what is really important to me in my life right now that I will be able to communicate to my future partner to be able to say, look, like this is something I need time for.
Yeah.
Like I need to be able to do this, or this is what matters to me and how I raise my kid, or like, but then understanding once I get there, I might feel differently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's that choosing to do preparatory work now to work on me, to work on my mindset and the way I cope with things and handle things and building a life that feels authentic and intentional.
Yeah.
And that when a baby does fit into that, it won't feel as daunting, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's some person listening to this and they're like, you're insane. And that's fine.
Well, I mean, I think it's also important. And, you know, we try to be as PSA, you know, acknowledging all the nuance as much as possible.
Right.
But if we actually acknowledge every single nuance, the whole podcast would just be us acknowledging nuance. I think what's really unfair about everything, but especially parenthood, is like it does also come down to privilege.
100%. Right? Like 100%.
It is so fundamentally unfair that to like it is much easier to be a parent if you have money and you can afford help and you can afford you know, care like that, you know, that is what's so fundamentally unfair is you can be more in alignment with your values
when you have
if
money.
You have help. Yeah. Or families and or family support, people in your life,
support,
a flexible job. Absolutely. All of that. And that's I think what's so hard. But I think it's also important, and you brought up a good point, Sam, of we can spend all of our time thinking about what we don't have, or we can try to focus on where we do have agency. Even if it's a very small amount, and that's where we can feel empowered.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And within our unique situations, everybody's situation is different. Literally every single one of you listening right now are in a different position. There might be similarities, but they're still different.
Yep.
And so having that pause and being able to self-reflect of, okay, I acknowledge I've taken in like so much, an oppressive amount of information about parenthood and motherhood and birth and all of these things. How do I now sit and filter through that in a way that feels aligned with who I am and the position that I'm in my life right now? Like it's really like a master class in self-reflection. If you
becoming a parent.
Yeah. I think choosing to do that is being willing to lean into the unknown in the most glorious way. And it's really—
That is very true.
It's really brave. It's really brave.
It is. And I think that what I really wish someone would have told me mm-hmm. and what I try to remind people of mm-hmm. is if you, because again, back to the whole regret, I think that's one of the biggest things that makes people feel really paralyzed because mm-hmm. we can never live our life with kids, live our life without kids,
right.
and then compare.
Right.
We can't go back like we were talking about too. But a lot of people in my experience who regret kids mm-hmm. did not spend a lot of time thinking mm-hmm. about whether or not to have kids. So I think if you are thinking about it, mm-hmm. I'm not saying this to try to like force people to right, have kids, no. but I also think a lot of what was really important for me to get clear on is what I ultimately got to was I was very afraid to have kids.
Yeah.
I wanted them.
Right.
But I was afraid. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important distinction too, because sometimes our fence sitting is fear and we actually do have a desire to have kids, but we're afraid of losing ourselves, mm-hmm. of it being the wrong choice, of regretting it, of all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And to your point, it is this risk mm-hmm. that you just have to bet on and mm-hmm. take and mm-hmm. trust that it'll work out or you'll figure it out.
Right. You will make it work.
I would love to share with you about my practice, Therapy for Women Center. We are based in Philadelphia and we have therapists located in 43 states across the country, so we probably can help you. If you're interested in learning more, visit our website at therapyforwomencenter.com.
I think for anybody listening, I think if you choose to not have kids, go you. I think that is an incredibly authentic, powerful choice. And I will never question a woman who tells me, I don't want to have kids. I'm going to be like, high Absolutely. Five. You go, girl. And I think if you are leaning towards having children, I really want you to take a moment in practicing having trust in yourself that because you have thought of this so much, because you have waited out so much, and you've come to the decision that you are going to do this, you're going to lean into this. Mm-hmm. You are going to do so much better than you give yourself credit for. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that. And I've seen that with my clients. I've seen that with my friends. Because you're doing this now because it is something that you genuinely deeply care about. Mm-hmm. Even though you're terrified, even though there's so much unknown, even though you don't get a manual when you come home from the hospital, you have decided this is something you want to figure out.
And you don't have to learn everything now.
Right.
Like, I think that's a huge thing too, is you don't have to decide, you know, I'm going to have kids and then know how to parent a toddler.
Yeah.
Like, that is the thing about having kids is you, like, it's the worst and the best thing about having kids, in my opinion, is that as soon as you learn how to do the thing, right, like you learn how to take care of a newborn and then the newborn becomes a baby and you learn how to take care of the baby. And then the baby, you know, becomes a toddler.
Yeah.
And then you learn how to take like, that's what I think is magical because they're changing all the time and you get to see them grow. And it means most stages don't last too long.
No.
Which is good if the stage is hard, but it also sucks if the stage is wonderful and like
fun.
You literally will grieve for previous stages, which is wild. Mm-hmm. But it also means that you learn as they're learning too. And I think people forget that and think they need to just be a parent and be ready to be a parent. And some people, I think, are very naturally ready to be parents. If you know, are a nanny or were a caregiver, or, you know, even some of the stuff you were talking about, Sam, like you sound much more prepared than I was to have a baby.
Yeah.
But you also get to learn alongside of them and trust yourself that you will continuously figure it out and get better and learn. And I think like what you need to be a good parent is a commitment to learning.
Right.
Like that's about it. And it's hilarious because that is what previous generations, the one thing they didn't have. Right. They wouldn't say they were wrong. They wouldn't learn. They were not humble.
They're still not learning. Right.
Yeah.
That's why we have job security. So I love the way you put that because it's so unfair the level of pressure that we as women put on ourselves that if I'm going to do something, I have to know I'm going to be able to do it. What's the word? Perfectly.
Yeah.
It's this insane pressure that we have of like, well, there might be bad days. And there might be days I don't
there will
like
be.
My kid. There absolutely will be. And like, full disclosure, I was on the plane yesterday. Mm-hmm. And there was this, it was a disaster. We were on the tarmac for 3 hours. And I was getting uncomfortable being by myself. And there was this poor family in the back with this baby that was frankly doing the thing we all wish we could do, which was cry and scream. And that's why sometimes I actually have more empathy with babies, because I'm like, I mean, in fairness, same. Like, when things don't go my way, I too want to scream and cry. Mm-hmm. I just now have a fully developed frontal lobe, unfortunately, and I have to respond as such. So I think the family just was like rolling with it. Like,
that's amazing. They were just, I have not learned that yet.
They were just walking up and down the aisle. And I think to not be afraid to take up space. That, like, if you don't want to worry about having a baby on your flight, I guess you're going to have to fly private for the rest of your life.
Because, or never fly
or
with a baby.
Never fly. Yeah. Like, because children are in the public space. Mm-hmm. And so watching that, there was a part of me that was torn of like, oh, this is so nice that I don't have to worry about that. Mm-hmm. But then that's one moment in time. Mm-hmm. That's one moment of discomfort that is probably going to be followed up with something that they find absolutely adorable or really fulfilling. Mm-hmm. And it's that yin and yang, right? Like, it all has to exist in one space. There's nothing that's all good. There's nothing that's all bad.
Yeah.
It like, if you are thinking of this in black and white, that is called a thinking error. Mm-hmm. And it's not helpful, and it gets in the way of you actually doing what you want to do.
Yeah. And I think it is whether, like, I think that that's a very good point in terms of, I think a lot of us, especially if you're an adult, you can kind of curate your life in a lot of ways, depending on what you do, to expose yourself to as little inconvenience or frustration as possible.
Right.
And that is one way to live your life. And I think sometimes I do fall into that. And having a baby is the opposite of that. But to your point, I think when we're deciding, like when I was deciding whether to have kids or not, and I think for a lot of people, even I'm rewatching Sex and the City, and it's very interesting. I was talking to you about this offline. Yeah. It's very interesting. There is early in the season, they go to a baby shower of one of their like old friends. And it's this whole thing about, ugh, babies are disgusting. Mm-hmm. And this girl like gave up on herself, and they go to Connecticut for the baby shower. And it is just, then, you know, Samantha throws a, I'm not pregnant, like I'm not having a baby party kind of like as a celebration of anti-baby shower.
Yeah.
And I think it's so interesting because on one hand, we kind of like hold mothers up, you know, and assume every woman will have kids and should have kids and there's something wrong with them. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, we also like don't support mother, right? Like we could do a whole episode on this in terms of, you know, abortion care and maternity leave care and all of that stuff.
Child care. It's
child care, all of it. So it's so interesting how we hold up mothers to this, and we act like we care so much, but we also kind of like tear them down, make fun of them. Like when people talk about having babies and how babies are terrible, or when I was thinking about having a kid, all I thought about was, I don't think I could ever potty train a kid. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do diapers. Mm-hmm. I don't want to not sleep. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, you know, not get out of bed. I don't want to be sick. I don't want all of these things. But you're not just getting that. And I think that's what's so hard about making the decision is a lot of the intangible, or a lot of the benefits or the love or the things that people really feel connected to when they have a child are intangible things that don't make sense if you don't have a baby, or don't seem to counteract. Like if someone told me, yeah, it sucks to potty train my kid, but the way they look at me, it's just wonderful. Yeah. You're like, what? Like, That's what are you talking about?
I don't want to be
but
looked
when
at.
It's your kid, now that I'm a parent, I'm like, yes, the way that my daughter giggles. I mean, I could talk to you about how I'm obsessed with my daughter's tongue, which is so weird, but she has like the cutest tongue. But that's what I mean is like, right. But that's what I mean is like, you can't be like, I know changing diapers sucks, but my daughter's tongue, man, like it's amazing. It just doesn't make sense. And that's what's so hard, I think, to understand or explain to people that don't have kids or are deciding about it.
Yeah. I mean, in fairness, you made that tongue. Like, you can be...
It is my flesh and blood.
It's mine. Yeah, like, what is it? I think Meghan Trainor said in an interview where she's like, I made balls.
It is weird. You're like, touché. You know, you're making a human,
you
literally.
You are making a human. And so yeah. With that comes things that you are going to be proud of. And you should be proud of that. And one day she'll listen to this and be like, I want to die. Yeah, I think what I just keep coming back to, and as someone who is single and doesn't have kids, I am enjoying my life now and I am living my life now. Mm-hmm. And I am trying to put into practice a lot of these same ideas that we're talking about of like acceptance and surrender and patience, mm-hmm. and, you know, leaning into nuance. These are lessons that you can start working on now. Mm-hmm. Even if you're still undecided and you're really on the fence and you feel like every day it's different, there are things that you can be doing to work on yourself now. Not mm-hmm. saying that like you're a project at all, but you know, okay, are you worried that you're someone that doesn't have patience? Do you want to get better at having patience? Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, you're someone that gets really anxious. Are you wanting to actually tackle your anxiety? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, if you're starting to tap into these more like root core issues, as you start to think of this idea of like motherhood, it doesn't all have to be through the lens of motherhood.
Yeah.
It can be, ooh, like I just identified something that I'm either self-conscious with or I don't like, or something that I really struggle with. So mm-hmm. I'm just going to turn inward and I'm going to do a little bit of work on that. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to see what comes up for me in that. It doesn't mm-hmm. all have to be this like, I am at this mega fork in the road and I have to make a choice.
Yes.
It can be, as we said before, an ever evolving journey. And I feel like, again, rounding it out, that's the journey that I am in now, is like, as I think about the idea of being a mom and all that that entails and my trauma around mm-hmm. being a caregiver in that, I'm working on those wounds. Mm-hmm. Because if I do decide to have a kid, it's not my kid's fault that I had trauma. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? And that is one thing as a parent that I don't want to do, mm-hmm. is I want to break that chain for me. Mm-hmm. That chain of like the stress and the angst that I have felt as a caregiver and the frustration and the bitterness and the resentment that has come with that. Mm-hmm. Well, I've also started to acknowledge that helping care for my brother gave me like a pretty damn strong backbone.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty resilient person. I'm not perfect by any stretch, mm-hmm. but I'm a real tough kid and I can handle my shit. They said, babe, you got to fake it till you make it. And I did. And so it's like, whatever situation you're in, as you're being mm-hmm. reflective of this, you can do work now. Mm-hmm. Talk about it now. Talk about it with your therapist. Say, I really want to get into that. I really want to be working mm-hmm. on that. Talk to your partner, like talk to your friends, but not in a way of like keeping in this binary of like, it sucks or it's the greatest thing ever. Mm. Start making it more personal to you. Mm-hmm. What are your values? What are you aligned with? What are you wanting? Right? Instead mm-hmm. of being so concerned with like, what's that one girl's name that Nara? Have you seen her content where she's like, my husband this morning decided that he wanted a sandwich. And so like I woke up at 3 to make the bread and then I made the filling.
Oh, yeah. It's not satire, but it seems
like
satire.
No, it's like real. Lord Lover, more power to you. But that doesn't
have... Oh, is she the one that like is like, my kids have never tasted Pop-Tarts?
Yes.
So I made Pop-Tarts from scratch. I made the dough.
Yeah, or it was like cereal or something.
Or made cereal. Yes. I think she was like, I homemade cinnamon toast crunch or something.
Yeah. Lord Love you. Like, that's great.
Great.
But I think understand, like, there are a lot of incredible... I'm sure she's an incredible mother. She seems to be so invested in her family. That is her passion. That is what she wants to do. I'm proud of her. You don't have to operate that way to be a good mom. That is not the expectation. That is an outlier.
Yeah.
And she is allowed to be an outlier. That's what she's chosen. You do not have to do that. You get to decide what works for you.
Totally.
That's all.
Totally. And I think you can also, right, like, even if you're a parent and you are listening to this too, you get to also decide, and you can continue to work on yourself at the same time while you're a parent. It's not too late.
No.
It's not done.
No. You get to change and adapt and pivot whenever you decide that that is best for you.
Yeah.
If you want to approach parenthood differently, if you want to approach your marriage differently, if you want to approach your friendships differently, work, whatever it is, like, you get to decide to implement those pivots whenever you want.
Yeah. You can change.
You can
believe in you.
I'm proud of you.
So I think for homework, Sam, what are... I feel like you already kind of said it, but what should we leave people with?
I think what I want to leave you with is just giving yourself some breathing room. Giving yourself some breathing room. It doesn't have to be perfect.
You also don't have to... I think there's so much pressure. Like, and I know it's hard because there are biological clock restraints.
For sure.
That make it feel like I have to make this decision now. But I also think putting pressure on yourself makes it harder to make the decision sometimes. And I think I wish more people embraced that. I think there's such pressure to like get off the fence, choose, have kids, don't have kids. But I'm kind of the belief that like it's okay to sit on the fence. Like it's just choose to sit on the fence.
Yeah.
You know, like as long as you're choosing it.
That's a choice.
It's an okay place to hang out. That's fine.
Yeah. And if you are receiving pressure from people, I'm sorry. That's hard. That's a hard place to be if your family's breathing down your back, your in-laws are breathing down your back, your partner's coming on to you, right? Like trying to push and get an answer. Like, so I want to be sensitive to that as well, that this is like so hard. And that's why I go back to, this is about you. At the end of the day, it's your body. This is your
values,
your values, your life. Just what I want to close with is genuinely, and I say this to my clients, and I absolutely mean it, and I'm saying this to you, if you're listening, I am proud of you for being here. This is a vulnerable topic to sit and chat about and listen to two people chat about. And the feelings that come up and all of that. And give yourself credit. You are doing much better than you think you are.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for listening, everyone.
Yeah.
And we'll be back next week with more.
Bye.